Of the sun to the setting of the same. Certainly we are blessed to be in the house of the Lord once again. The Lord has navigated our niches and allowed us this blessed privilege of being participatory in this place. It's good to be alive. It's good to be active. It's good to be in the land of the living. Certainly we don't deserve it, but God is a gracious and merciful God, and we owe him all praise, honor, and glory. Come and bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless. Come on, you can do better than that. Bless his name today. Bless his name today. Come on. Come on. He deserves the praise. He deserves the honor. Certainly we thank God for allowing us this privilege of praising and worshiping him today and this moment of preaching. Thank God for these preachers and the persons of Reverend McCoy, Reverend Skipper, Reverend Gilchrist, Reverend Foster, Reverend Mims, and to the women ministry, women of our church, women of our deacon wives and pastor wife, and women of our church who have devoted us and have postured our hearts for worship to this male chorus that has sang so melodiously and blessed us in song, to the environmental safety team, and to all of you. It's good for us to be here. Amen. It's good for us to be here. I want to just yield the floor for a minute. Sister Rogers, Lady Rogers, will come up and give words of thanks and gratitude for yesterday. I did it at the 8 o'clock service, but she's here.
Good morning. Protocol hasn't already been established. I would like to say that I thank God for our turnout yesterday, for our meet and greet. I just thought that it was befitting for me to do that because of the pandemic. I hadn't had a chance to really meet with all the ladies. So I want to say to everyone who played a part in getting that service together yesterday, I really thank you from the bottom of my heart, because you didn't have to do it. The building was so beautiful. Sister Tanja Burrell, I think, decorated. It was so beautiful. She did a dynamic job. Sister Jessica Matthews, they did the food. And when I tell you it was A1, it was A1. They really laid the carpet out for us women yesterday. And I just give God glory for using them, because they did it. You could tell they did it with love. And I just thank God for the women, all the women here, the women who were there yesterday, and those of you who were not there yesterday. I am so looking forward to working with you. I'm so looking forward to working with you this year and for years to come. So I just want to say again that I thank you, and New Bethlehem, I love you. Amen.
I wasn't here on yesterday. I had to babysit. And I wanted my mom and Sister Teresa and Lady Rogers to come out. And I didn't want to interfere with y'all time together as women of the church. And so I know you had a wonderful time, a gorgeous time in the Lord. And I thank God for your receptivity and your support and prayers of Lady Rogers. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 27. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing, fall on me. Can you say that with me? Anointing, fall on me, anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing, fall on me. You know we need the anointing. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Matthew 27, verse 42. Mark 15, verse 30. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Mark chapter 15, verse 30. Save thyself and come down from the cross. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, he would not come down. Look at another and say, he would not come down. Now, there ought to be a hallelujah in your spirit. He would not come down from the cross. You may be seated. Through the years, a lot has been said about Jesus on the cross. During this time of the year, we give concentration and consideration to Christ as he hanged on the cross for us. We preach about the seven sayings. Christ, that he uttered on the cross. We even give detailed conversation about the hours that he hanged on the cross for 6 long hours. Within the 6 hours, 3 were in the light and 3 were in the darkness. We even conversate and say that he could have come down. But for him to have come down from the cross would have defied what he came to do. He didn't come down, and praise be to God for that. Because had he come down, all of us would be on our way to hell. He hanged there to save us. It is no undisclosed reality, no hidden truth, that Jesus, while he was on the cross, and even prior to being hanged on the cross, suffered. He suffered immensely while he was on the cross. And all that he suffered on the cross was for a world lost. He gave his life so that the world could be saved. For Jesus' words in John's Gospel, John 3, verse 16, reveals to us why he hanged on the cross. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only unique son, only behaved son, only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He knew his mission. He knew why he came. He knew that his ultimate work was not done on a fishing boat, was not done on a hillside with thousands of people set on the hillside as he preached. He knew that his ultimate work was not breaking fish and loaves, but his ultimate work was for him to give his hands to the spikes and his feet to the spike, his head to the crown of thorns, his side to the spear, his back to the cross, his spirit to his Father, and his body to the grave. He knew that his ultimate work was for him to die on Calvary. Do I have any Calvary people in here this morning who can celebrate the cross? Because Jesus, he suffered in your place for your good. He never forgot. He never lost track. He never ceased to think about his reason for coming. He was to be tortured, and that was a part of his mission. It was a part of his mission to be arrested, falsely accused, beaten, ridiculed, humiliated, and hang on that cross as a lawbreaker. While Christ was on the cross, the crowd continued to say, the crowd made up of high priests and scribes and elders continued to jest and joke, to make fun of him by saying, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. They knew something about Jesus and his power. And they knew enough not to even question who he was. For they had watched him as he healed sick bodies. They had watched him as he raised dead men from the grave. They had watched him when he had broke fish and loaves on the mountainside. And now here it is, he's on the cross and they are questioning who he is and his purpose for coming. And they said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down now and we will believe him. Oh God, only one thing they didn't know. It was not for Jesus to come down to be believed on. It was for him to stay there. Let me say that again. It was not for him to come down, for him to be believed on. It was for him to stay on the cross, to be believed on. He had to die to be believed on. And it was for him to stay on the cross, to be believed on, for us to be saved. He didn't come to save himself, because he didn't need saving. He came to save us. The only way to save man from sin's penalty was for him to give his life on Calvary's cross. He stayed there. Well, the big cue is why. Why did he stay there? Well, number one, he stayed there because sovereign demand was upon him. It is in Revelation 13 verse 8. It says, the Father decreed before the foundation of the world that the Lamb be slain. Before Jesus left the pleasantries of heaven, before he left the presence of his Father, his mission had already been settled. It was the will of his Father that he hang and die on the cross of Calvary. Jesus, he willed it himself to die. It was his purpose thus to redeem mankind. So in adhering to the steadfast, determinant will of his Father, he did not deliver himself. He gave himself to the will. And the question this morning, brothers and sisters, is when have you determined in your spirit to do what God has determined in heaven for your life? Regardless of the pain, regardless of the pressure, regardless of the persecution, regardless of the people scandalizing your name, regardless of people putting you down, regardless of people talking about you, when will you purpose in your heart to do what the Lord has determined for you to do? He did not deliver himself from suffering and death. He died. Jesus died just when God pleased. He died just where God pleased. He died just how God pleased. Old New Testament reveals the truth to us. It is in Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet who sees through centuries and sees through years Jesus is coming, that said in Isaiah 53 verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It is Matthew's. Jesus in Matthew's, he said he went a little farther. Matthew's recorded. And when he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane with Peter, James, and John, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And he inserts a nevertheless. Because one thing Jesus understood about God is God is immutable. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He says, nevertheless, not as I will, but thou will be done. Jesus one day having a conversation with a woman at the well from Samaria. Disciples went into town because they were hungry. And they made it back with some food. And he was still indulged in conversation with the woman at the well. And they offered him meat. And Jesus says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And to finish his work." Hold on to that word "finish" until I get to my conclusion. He said, "And to finish his work." John chapter 6 verse 38. Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." If Jesus had come down from the cross, he would have defied the will of his Father. If he had come down from the cross, he would have denied himself, his mission, and his teaching. If Jesus had come down from the cross, he would have ceased being the Savior and Redeemer and Mediator. If Christ Jesus had come down from the cross, no one would be saved, because there would be nothing to believe in. There would be no cross, and a crossless Christ can't save. He came because sovereign's demand was on him. Not only did he hang there because sovereign's demand was upon him, he hanged there because Satan's defeat was upon him. You remember Satan came slithering in the garden. God's greatest creation, Adam and Eve. And they were there to tend the garden, to watch over, to have dominion over God's lesser creation. And Satan came slithering in the garden and deceived Eve. Defeated Adam. And when he defeated Adam, he defeated all of mankind in Adam. Man lived in defeat. And doom prior to Jesus' coming and crucifixion. And Jesus was sent to earth to defeat Satan, who defeated Adam. He was on the cross. And while the Roman soldiers were nailing his hands to the cross, they didn't realize they were nailing Satan to the wall. See, Calvary is not a picture of defeat. It's a picture of victory. It's a picture of triumph. And it's the place where God put on display his Son to defeat Satan, who had conquered mankind in the beginning. Oh, brothers and sisters, aren't you glad Jesus came and Jesus hanged on that cross. While hanging on that cross, he was driving out Satan. Jesus said, now is judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. He was casting out, driving out Satan. He was disarming the power and authority of Satan. He was destroying the power of death. It is in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 that says, we see that the cross has destroyed death's power over man, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Destroy him. The Greek word destroy him means surrender powerless, to put out of action, to take away his authority. When Jesus was on the cross, he defeated the devil and death. He rendered the devil powerless, and he took the sting out of death. That's why as a born again believer, as a Christian believer, you don't have to worry about death, because death is like a stingless bee. You know, a stingless bee, you can make a pet out of it. You can hold it in your hand. You can let it fly around your head, fly around your body. It can't do anything to you, because what hurts you has been taken away from it. That's what Jesus did on Calvary. When he died in our place, he took the sting out of death, took power and authority from Satan. He defeated Satan. He fulfilled sovereign's demand. But thirdly, the sinner's deliverance was upon him. He came to deliver us from the penalty of sin through his death. He came to deliver us, the very people who violated, the very people who had sinned against him, the very people who had talked about him, plucked his beard and spat upon him, the very people who cried out, crucify him, he came to die for. Listen to Isaiah again. In Isaiah 53 verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, I think that sounds so good it's worth repeating. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Let me say it again for my spirit. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All Jesus came for the sinner's deliverance. It is in Matthew 20, verse 28, that Jesus said he came to give his life as a ransom for many. Luke 19, 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. It is Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, who says, He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It is Paul in Galatians 1 verse 4 who said that Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. He came for the sinner's deliverance. He came for Satan's defeat. He came for sovereign's demand. But he died on that cross for the song's delight. Jesus, keep me near the cross. We can sing that song now because he hanged on that cross. Is there anybody in the room that have that song in your spirit? Jesus, keep me near the cross. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody here that can give God some praise? Because God, he hanged on the cross. He stayed right there. We can now sing the song at the cross. Is there anybody here who can say, at last, and did my Savior bleed? And did my sovereign die? Who would devote thy sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my soul and my heart was rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Jesus stayed on the cross. He remained true to his will. He remained true to his Father. He remained true to his mission. He remained true to us. I'm so glad that he didn't come down from the cross. Because if he had come from the cross, we would still be on our way to hell. But he hanged on that cross for 6 long hours. 3 hours in the light and 3 hours in the darkness. He hanged on that cross until he finished the will of his Father. That's why he said on the cross, it is finished. And he dropped his hand in the locks of his shoulders. And he died out on that cross. Is there anybody in the room? Thank God that Jesus died on the cross. If you thank God, why don't you stand up on your feet? And why don't you point that Baptist finger at somebody and tell them, I thank God that Jesus stayed on the cross. He stayed on the cross until he died on that cross. He died until the S-U-N refused to shine. He died until the moon caught a hemorrhage and dripped away in blood. He died until the stars fell from the silver socket. He died until a centurion said he must be the Son of God. He died until the Father opened up a new and living way by rending the veil from the top to the bottom. He dropped his head in the locks of his shoulders. He died out on that cross. But I thank God that he didn't stay dead. They took his lifeless body and put it in a borrowed tomb. And anything you borrow, you got to give it back. He only needed it for 3 days and 3 nights. Friday night, he was in the tomb. Saturday morning, he was in the tomb. Saturday night, he was in the tomb. And Sunday morning, he got up.
with all power in his hands. Is there anybody who can be a witness that will look at somebody else and say, thank God for Jesus that he died for me? But not only did he die for me, he got up for me. He got up that Sunday morning with all power, heaven and earth in his hands. Can I ask you my question one time? And I'm going to my seat. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, why don't you help me holler by saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah! He will, he will. He will, he will. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. He'll hold you in his arms at night. Won't he rock you to sleep? Is there anybody here who can be a witness to say, can't nobody do me like Jesus? He picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. He feed me when I'm hungry. He give me water when I'm thirsty. He put clothes on my back. He put shoes on my feet. He put salvation in my heart. He put peace to God in my mind. Can I ask you my question one more time? And I'm going to my seat. Ain't he alright? If you know he's alright, holler with me one more time and say, yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
To God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad he hanged on the cross. He finished the work the Father sent him to do. He didn't go some of the way, he went all the way. He didn't let the taunting and jesting bring him down. He stayed there for our salvation. He stayed there for our deliverance. I'm on my way to heaven now. You ought to claim that today. I'm on my way to heaven now. I'm saved. On my way. Sometimes stumbling. But I'm on my way. Because of what he did. Glory to God. Listen, I know I'm saved. You know you're saved. That's the praise. Listen, I was wrestling, you know. I'm on a series of sermons abounding in Christ, and the Lord laid on my heart to preach this because we're approaching Resurrection Sunday. And in obedience to the Lord, I wanted to preach this because we have to get back to the foundation. Dr. Rogers and I were talking the other day, and we were talking about this pandemic and what God was doing in the midst of the pandemic. And I believe, I said to him, I believe with my whole heart that God has hit the reset button. Because we made church out of so much other stuff. You know? We've become so preference driven. What we think. God hit the reset button. And in hitting the reset button, all we could see was the Lord. He took us from these blue pews, blue carpet. And we were like the psalmist. We long for a worship experience. And he said, son, you all have missed it because you all have covered over the main thing, which is Jesus and Him crucified. All last year we talked about Jesus ... to get us back, to focus us on the Lord Jesus Christ. So often we're chasing after a personality. But it's bigger than that. It's about Jesus Christ. And he wanted me to preach this morning. And then on Resurrection Sunday, our service is at 6. And I was thinking about that. You know, this pandemic has caused us to get so comfortable. Watching church laying in the bed. Amen, lights. You know, we were comfortable. And I said, 6 o'clock in the morning. He said, 6 o'clock in the morning. He says, people have to be determined. He's challenging us to get back to the basics, to get back to what really matters. And that's Jesus Christ. And Him crucified. He died because sovereign demand was upon Him. He died because Satan's defeat was upon Him. He died because our deliverance was upon Him. He died because the song's delight was upon Him. Listen, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today, I want you, and you're not saved, come. Don't delay. Don't put off, because one of the greater tools of Satan is procrastination. That I have time. That I'll do it next week. I'll do it next month. And you never get around to doing it. And you die and end up in hell eternally. Because you delayed. But make up in your mind and in your heart today that you're going to make Jesus Lord. Come today if you're not saved. Come secondly if you're here and you are backslidden. The Lord is married to you. It means that there's space between you and God in fellowship. You're still in relationship, but there's space between you and God in fellowship. And when fellowship is broken, the joy that we receive from the Lord is not there as it should be. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." I know I'm saved, but I'm hurting inside. No, I'm saved. I don't have that joy that I used to have. Come, he will restore you. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, come on. Come on. Come on, come on. The doors.
Rolled away.
Come on, come on, come on.
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. He was there, my faith, I received.
That none has come, but there's still room at the cross. Listen, right before we benedict, I want to remind us of next Sunday is our church anniversary, 120 years. We have a wonderful voice coming in the person of Dr. Lee Brand Jr., great friend and great brother, in whom I had the privilege of serving alongside for almost 18 years in Starkville. We were 5 miles apart on the same highway, Highway 182. He had a great ministry. I had a great ministry. We had a great ministry together. Listen, God saw fit to move into Memphis, Tennessee, or Germantown, Tennessee, where he now serves as the vice president of the seminary, Mid-America Seminary, and dean of students and an instructor. He was nominated for one of the vice president's positions in the Southern Baptist Convention. He's a preacher par excellence. You don't want to go to heaven without hearing Dr. Lee Brand. So register early. He will preach both 8 and 10:30. And I'm excited about he and his family being here with us. 120 years God has graced us as a church. 120 years he has used this church to reach and touch many lives. And listen, God is yet using us and he's yet blessing us. So listen, come out next Sunday. Let's celebrate together 120 years. All hearts and minds clear? All right. Everybody sing it. Amen. Everybody sing. Everybody sing. Amen. Amen. Sing it over. Amen. Sing it over. Sing it over. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Lord, keep us until that great day where there will be no need for the sun to shine. But Lord, your face will be the great light thereof. Watch over us and keep us, O Father, until that appointed time when we will hear your welcoming voice. Saying, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. in Jesus' name. Amen.